Hello, everyone.
Hey, Chris, this is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
So I have a concurrent doc weekly call going on right now. And what I'm wondering is if we could have the API versioning formatting a recommendation at, maybe like in a half hour, 20 minutes or something. If
sure.
You have time on your agenda, and I'll go to my other call, and then I'll come back.
Yeah, I can do that. I'll push that later. We'll start with the Tiger team, and then we'll come back to the API stuff.
Perfect. Because basically, I'm just going to get on the other call and say, join this call if you're interested, because this is what we're going to talk about.
Sure.
So that was the only message. Okay, I'll be back.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Hey, Chris, while we're waiting for people, can I ask a question?
Sure.
For the Beijing meeting, to get to China, you need a visa. Is there a page somewhere that we can go to get like the visa instruction for going to the meeting?
Let me see if Linux Foundation has one set up. Hold on a second.
Okay. I was going to start to get that ready.
Yeah.
Chris, on a similar note, are all the details of the Beijing meeting finalized? Because you do need that information, like meeting time, dates, and place for the visa application. Is that all known at this point?
I know a lot of it has been posted.
Yes, it's known. This is Parviz. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, Parviz. Okay, because I had some of my folks asking me, because they saw the form, and it's pretty specific in terms of the information you need on meeting logistics. All of that's available now?
So it's on the wiki. It's on the front page. There's a link that says Casablanca Release Developer Form. Let me share that.
Yeah, it has all the hotels, everything. Yeah.
Okay, very good. So we're able to fill out the form completely at this point.
Yeah, and when you do your application, fill it out for 10 years. That makes it really easy. Then going to China is just like hopping a plane to anywhere else. So here's the visa instruction and the person to email with that, and you can get an invitation letter.
Perfect.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Could you just go back to the link? Chris, I just want to copy the link.
Yes. Here, let me go back to the main page. See right here on the main page, next event, Casablanca Release Developer Forum.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Actually, I'm going to forward this to the ARC mailing list, okay?
Thanks, Parviz.
Sure.
Okay, now that we've got quorum.
And also, I think there is some procedure for the China visa. It's a little bit elaborate. So it takes probably an hour at least, or maybe even a couple of hours. So just make sure you have enough time for that.
Okay.
Great. So while we're on events, I heard back from OpenStack. And they still don't have a room for us, but they expect to later this week. So I will be sending those logistics. In the meantime, what they do have is...
What was it that was finally agreed, Chris, the date?
It's going to be the last week of May during the OpenStack Summit. We don't have an exact date yet because we're waiting on OpenStack. They were going to give us a room. But their events team is figuring out exactly which day we can get the room. So I will be sending that out as soon as possible. What they did
say that would be great because we actually have a scheduling issue back here where depending on the day will depend on who we send because no one person could make every day in that week. So it'll actually determine who goes from our organization.
Yeah, I'm sorry for conflicts. This seems to be the best way to get us together and get our deliverables to the TSC on time.
I understand. That's okay. It's just that we literally don't know who's going till we get the date.
Yeah, I expect it this week. So I will be sending it to everybody as soon as possible. This is the communication I got from them that they have some. If you're staying the whole week, there's a package for the ticket plus hotel package for a shorter period. They've got the Summit hotels. And their discount rates through the end of the month. They are looking forward to working with us, so I do expect to get a room anytime now.
Okay. All right.
So if we just go for the one day, we still have to pay the OpenStack fees, right?
That's what we're trying to get around. They're going to get back to us on that, but I asked for something where we didn't have to pay even for the day pass to get in. So as soon as the logistics come out, I will pass that on to the rest of you. But that was my request to OpenStack that we get in for free.
That would be very helpful. By the way, if we can't, what is the fee? Just out of curiosity.
The weekly fee, I think, is, it's changing. I think it's $6.95 for the week. They were going to offer a day pass for a lot less.
Okay.
Yeah. They're just excited to be working with ONAP. So they thought they could work with us and give us something for nothing. If it does get to be really expensive, we can also look into booking a hotel ballroom there. But it sounds like working with OpenStack seems to be a better way to go.
Yeah.
That's in Vancouver, Chris?
That's in Vancouver, yes.
Yeah, the Hotel Vancouver is a good place. They're meeting in which hotel?
I think they're meeting in the convention center again.
Convention?
So it's right on the water, and there are a number of hotels right there.
Yeah, I know the area, but I guess you still have a chance to get a room there, yeah? If not, then... Hyatt is reasonably priced. Hyatt is not too far from that place. Yeah.
Yeah, and there are the discount rates available through OpenStack.
Okay.
So I just want to bring this to everyone's attention, so I will share more as I get it. Let's go next to Parviz.
Yeah. Okay, hi Chris, and hi folks. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, can you hear me? Right, okay. The answer is obviously yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. For ONAP architecture update, so we moved from R2 to R3, now we have R3+. That's good news, yeah. So, the architecture diagram, you have seen this quite often in the past, but I'm going to move on. We didn't do much to this diagram yet. The focus of the work in actually Tiger team discussion is that the blue box, yeah? The theme of the, based on the, Chris, from your update from the TSC meeting is that modularity, yeah? Modularity, model-driven microservices-based architecture, and of course, all the APIs that you need to deadline for Casablanca, and also API improvements. So that is the focus, okay? This is the guideline that we already had in our previous slide deck for Beijing and also for the target architecture. Then what I did, I look at the contributions so far. I already gave an update, I guess, mid-March. So over the last few weeks, I'm going to give you an update. This is the list of the contribution, the architecture contribution to the Tiger team. The top part, which is in the blue box, these are contributions that have already been submitted. The generic NF controller. We have that for the final review. We didn't have a chance to really have the people to get their final view on the slides for the generic NF controller. So this is already on the wiki page, the contribution page. Please, if you're interested, have a look and send your comments. The next one is the ONAP orchestrator. Again, as part of this contribution, all the internal and external interfaces were defined. The only thing that is left for further work is API mapping. So after we are done with the core contribution, the second part of the page, then we come back and work on the API mapping, okay? The API mapping means that all the internal and external interfaces that are defined as part of the ONAP orchestrator internal structure. We are going to create a matrix and show the existing interfaces that are already been implemented or are currently being implemented as part of the Beijing release. That mapping should be added to the package, okay? The next one is the controller architecture. This, again, the orchestrator architecture was led by Gail, AT&T, and the controller architecture by John, okay? Again, the mapping is not done yet. The mapping of the defined interface and architecture into the existing implementation. Okay, the next one is the service design creation functional architecture. This is the scope of the DCAE project, but this is more a generic architecture for the target view. Of course, for Casablanca, we need to keep the project detail and project mapping on top of the target architecture, okay? Again, this contribution is already there, has been reviewed by the target team, and it's ready for final review. There are a few other contributions. We didn't have chance to review them very carefully. One is the catalog architecture. The second one is the architecture for DCAE. The first one was for the SPC, and this is for DCAE. I misspoke. The bullet item four is for SPC, and this one is for DCAE, okay? Which is a more generic architecture for DCAE for the target view. All right. The active and available inventory, there is a set of slides that clearly define the detail of the interaction and the interfaces for ANAI. This for Beijing, we know what that is. For Casablanca, we need to take this generic view and map it into the Casablanca implementation and interfaces. ONAP design platform reference architecture, Binglu is working on this. And she has already submitted a contribution. So far, we didn't have a chance to go to the detail of that. There is a contribution left over from last time. It's called ONAP SDK-driven subsystem approach, mainly focusing on the SDK library. Again, we need to come back and review the detail of this contribution. So these are all the contributions that before the last update, we already had this contribution. So I'm keeping track of this, and all these slides are available as part of individual contribution, and they are on the both ARC and Tiger Team wiki pages. Okay, Chris, so far, these are the major elements of the target architecture that we have already seen contribution and has been carefully reviewed by the Tiger team. Now, since mid-March, we have been focusing on the following topics. One of them is the Cloud Native Computer Foundation and the relevant tools that we can leverage and use for ONAP, or defining the ONAP interfaces. One of these is currently being reviewed by the Tiger team. Manoj and Alex, they have contributed heavily to the formation of this contribution. Actually, they are the main author of the contribution. And they are basically defining the three different approaches for microservices for ONAP, okay? There's a set of slides that are already appended to this package. So if you have time today, I can quickly glance through that so you can see the what is covered there. The second contribution, which we had the first presentation in LA during the ONS, is from Harbing. So this is microservices-based architecture, which is mainly focused on the service mesh. And the initial proposal is was discussed, but we have not really decided in the architecture team the next steps. There are comments that came in as part of the presentation in LA. So I expect Harbing in coming weeks to update and resubmit that contribution, okay?
One quick update that, so I'm also putting together the service mesh tech, but a little more from a ONAP S3P lens use cases, what problem it solves, and also look at broader integration points. I'll circulate the current deck. We'll have a good discussion on that.
I'm going to put you on the agenda on this spot, maybe in coming weeks, yeah?
We are targeting, Chris, we're targeting that update the architecture team next week, right?
Yes.
This is not getting into every weeds of the implementation detail yet. Look at all the options and sort of the, including business value. Because, there is a ton of value, but probably it's not articulated very well often, right? From a higher order lens. And then I had a good chat with Benjing also, Chris, on that.
So, yeah, great. Yes.
From OpenAI Explorer.
Benjing mentioned that. So I have both of you on for next week's call, and we can go deep on that.
Awesome. And sure. Parviz, I'll set up them sometime to discuss with you and on the team. Yeah.
Hold on. I guess you're talking about the Clover project, yeah?
Yeah.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, the Clover project, I had a lengthy chat with Benjin and Stefan. That's definitely... Chris, you have it for next week, correct?
For next week, yes. Ramki and Wenjing are going to do a presentation next week. I think Huabing is on and wants to get in here. Huabing?
Okay.
What I'm thinking is best we discuss together and put together something a cohesive point of view. I just started creating this deck based on my presentation at the last Santa Clara forum. So Parviz, let's coordinate this to make sure we have Hobbing and all other also key OM team members. I'm thinking Roger, right? And also we have to bring in the containerized DNS angle. I know we have Sini here and several other people, right?
It would be great if you can talk me a mile. Maybe so we can discuss. The Red Hat guy also interested in this, so we are working together. We are trying to set up a POC in the Beijing development event to show the potential advantage the sales match we can bring to the ONAP project. So maybe you can join us. So, okay, no, Perry, so, oh, sorry.
No, that's very good. So let's, I'll send an email. So maybe we'll sync up more towards next couple of days. So with the current, with a sort of a value proposition and overall story deck, and also the ONAP integration points. I think you have also a current deck, right? Hoping I saw that, you know.
Okay.
Oh, great. I see Tal also. Yeah, perfect. So we have Tal also. I see that chat. So perfect. Yeah, I'll send out an email. In case I do miss out someone, kindly include those, you know, any other folks you will think are interested.
We'll also try to set up a weekly meeting to work on that. So we will do it maybe in the MSB weekly meeting. And I send out a dual pool to collect the available 10 slot for every potential participant. So so please go to that pool and choose whatever 10 slot you can join us.
Having you send this pool to the MSP mailing list or to somewhere else?
Okay, I sent the dual pool. I think last week.
Did you send that to ONAP Discuss or where? I didn't see the pool.
Maybe I missed the mailing list.
Okay. I'll take it offline.
Okay.
Sure. You already chose the time. So
you're breaking, Harbing.
Yeah, we're losing you a bit. I'll have time on next week's call. We'll mostly dedicate the call to Service Mesh for. I think we have a couple of different topics here. Ramke's presentation, Wenjing with the Clover Project, Wabing, whatever you have, and if there's anything else on Service Mesh, you know, let's let me know, and then let's bring it to next week's call.
Yeah, we have more actually on that. Yeah, Chris.
Okay, great.
I guess we wait for next week's art presentation from the Clover Project, Ramke and Wenjing. Let me go through the list.
One question for Ramke and Hubing. I understand that we are going to talk about service mesh technology next week. What about other components in CNCF? Like today, we have our own logging infrastructure, but CNCF has something called Fluentd and open tracing.
Hold on. We have a couple of slides on that. Could you wait? If you don't get answer to your question, then you bring it up again. Okay.
Okay.
Exactly. I think trying to cover the big picture certainly, Srini, like you brought up. I mean, as part of service mesh. Logging, what we can use from CNCF, exactly right. Upgrade the whole story, including zero trust and everything. I mean,
integration of Prometheus with DCAE also be covered?
Possibly. I'm still putting together, I'm trying to make it as comprehensive as possible, but good questions. We'll work together on this, Srini, because there is. I'm thinking two angles. One is the ONAP components themselves, and also we definitely need to have a story for the ONAP workloads which you're working on, like the containers. So absolutely, we have to have that cohesive story on what all we want to do. So I'll definitely circulate the deck with the entire team, right?
Okay, thank
you. Okay, so back to this. There is a comment in Chinese on the chat window. I don't read the Chinese. Could you translate that, please? Okay. All right.
At least I thought you knew Chinese by now. Just kidding.
Yeah, sorry. I did my best, okay? But no success yet, okay. So the owner of microservices approach, okay, Manoj and Alex. Manoj has already presented the first part of the slide. It's very comprehensive. It probably needs a little bit more detail, but I'm giving Manoj sometime next week to finish his presentation. So, Chris, this is a follow-on to the service mesh and the other components that we can leverage on the microservices toolbox. There's a bunch of them. I have a slide on that. Microservices architecture, having I already mentioned that. The next one is recursive service orchestration in ONAP. This is a very interesting discussion. And Gil brought in a very an excellent contribution. We had two or three meeting cycles on really going through that very detailed. The discussion is near completion. We are making good progress on that. That is recursive service orchestration, which is mainly to address the nested services. The concept is already captured in the core slide set that Chris, as part of the target architecture, mm-hmm. but we didn't have that capability in Beijing. We need to, of course, work on the Casablanca, the enhancements for Casablanca, okay, for service orchestration, recursive service orchestration. We are making good progress on that, and Gil and the few people, they are having offline discussion, very detailed discussion on that. Okay, the next one was a discussion on the how to plug in the DNS manager into the ONAP platform. This was for discussion only. Right now, we close the discussion. And if there is a need, we expect a new contribution to come in to Tiger team, okay? So we have those slides for people to look into. Okay, the HCNFE update, the latest and greatest from in on the specs and APIs, both IFAR, Sol, and Tosca Yang mapping, which is a new project there. So there are two sets of slides already available on the architecture wiki page. The details, the latest, the publication dates, and so on. So we don't have to really guess anymore, except a couple of items that are work in progress. I heard that within the next couple of weeks, those specs will be published. So that's good news. Of course, this has to do with the modeling work too. The modeling subcommittee is going to make use of those set of specs, okay? The next one, Ramki, this is you for multi-cloud architecture. We had a presentation from Ramki a while back on the SDNC and the interaction with the downstream controller for overlay controller, underlay controller, and gateway controller. So the set of slides are available. This goes all the way back to the event in Paris, the Paris Summit. Ramki, you're on the hook for this, yeah? You're going to bring it up.
Certainly, Parvis, just waiting on a couple of things. One is the edge cloud support, which you are working on, and also sort of little more details with Dan, which I think Shini is also very interested in. We'll find some time and we can close on this probably in next few weeks. I mean, I want to make it comprehensive because the ask was really APIs, right? Like a little more detail. Double-click on the story, correct?
Okay, sure. The Alex that I mentioned here is Alex Wolf from Intel, yeah? Because Manoj is using his CMA. He has a presentation to the ARC review meeting a while back. So there is a reference to Alex's presentation in Manoj's slide, okay? This is Alex Wolf from Intel, okay? That's the chat on the comment, okay. So the next one is external ONAP API. I'm still waiting. I attended a couple of or a few of the external API project weekly calls. If Andy is here, then we can hear briefly from Andy when we should hear from him on the follow on to the use of the MEF LSO and the APIs, the TM Forum APIs. I know that yesterday there was a formal announcement, Chris, the collaboration between the MEF and ONA, correct? MEF and TM Forum.
And that's been a long time in the making. But yeah, the license agreements were just signed. That's right.
Okay, good. So now we can openly talk about this and we can leverage on the work that has been done. Like Interlude, Legato, and more. I have a few more slides on that. The real-time data event streaming and processing, there is a slide on the next week is 24th. So we have a follow-on presentation on this. This is a contribution that Habib and myself, we are actively working on this. Chris, that is scheduled for the art review next week, okay?
Yes.
And the last one is I'm still waiting from Vodafone on their SODO orchestration architecture. I'll ping Susanna. I don't know if Susanna is on the call, if she plans to bring a follow-on to this previous discussion, okay? So this is the list of contributions so far. The ones in blue are pretty much stable, but we still need to review. And of course, the mapping to the Casablanca has to be done. That is the pending part of those contributions. All the ones below in the white section of this page, those are the mostly work in progress, except that the recursive server orchestration is near completion. And of course, the microservices is, we already talked about that, okay? The next page is, this is the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, the CNCF. We talked to Manoj. I don't know if Chris Manoj is on the call. The idea here is to see how we can leverage on the tool set that is available from CNCF. For example, I listed here like gRPC, P4Runner, and GNMI, GNOI, and all the data modeling tools that are available. This is a mapping of some of those tools into the ONAP components from Manoj's view. Someone mentioned Fluentd, Jagger for open tracing, and there is also for GNMI, gRPC, CanSeqWeek for any VNF for VNF management and more. So you can have a quick look at the Manoj slides and see if you agree to this kind of mapping. These are the tools that are already available. And of course, for Casablanca, you have to be very careful. We just take probably a small subset of these that are applicable to enhance the functionality of the platform, okay, for Casablanca.
This is definitely a good start, but after the service mesh, I mean, I see several components need to be, brought in also, like adjustments need to be made, but perhaps we can refine this for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, but we are in a fast track. We need to make sure for Casablanca, what really is doable based on the timeline and resources, yeah? Okay,
next couple of weeks we can do that. Let's have the service mesh figured out next week, right? And then we'll update this.
What are the blue lines that I'm seeing on the screen? Is that blue line coming from me? I see two blue lines on the screen.
Someone turn on the annotation tools. Whoever annotated has to erase it. Otherwise, it doesn't clear.
The people, please remove those blue lines. We don't need them now. Maybe later. Okay. Okay. There was a comment. Please go ahead. Someone was
making a comment. Hi, Howie. So this slide, I think this diagram is great. So show all the aspects of cloud native project we can leverage. And I can say that MSP, okay, we are already started work, job to try to integrate still search match with the OLAP, but I can say that there are some maybe overlapping between our projects, and the East OS, and also we have simple login, which may have overlapping with other projects, so we need to discuss, I think, more widely with this all this project, the PTL, to maybe to figure out the way for going forward.
And also I have for another slide on this. Okay.
And also for the gRPC protocol, so it's kind of RPC approach which should be decided by each project itself. So I think we can force everyone to use on which kind of protocol they want to use. So that way maybe we should discuss.
Well, on the gRPC, I'm sure people, they have more to say, especially Google had a presentation on the Linux Leadership Summit. This is on the fast track. They are making sure that the gRPC gets there.
And if I'm not mistaken, ODL already supports, right, in the southbound gRPC.
Yeah, I guess that's already there, but.
I just want to understand one thing. The gRPC support is meant for communication between management component microservices or between management components themselves?
So I think, Alex, we talked about that during the Los Angeles.
Right, I just want to confirm I understand we're still on the same page, right? Because there are three domains of communication, right? There is the external communication from ONAP out as a black box. Then we have different management services like DCAE and et cetera. And then within those management services, we have little functions that could be expressed as cloud native microservices. Where do we see gRPC presenting itself, in all three or just in the last one?
So I'm not very familiar with gRPC, but I think this design should be maybe new to each project, which PTL discuss about it. We can discuss what's the advantage gRPC can bring us, why we want to use gRPC instead of RESTful. Maybe in some scenario, gRPC make more sense. In other scenario, RESTful API just make more sense. So that's the thing we did discuss.
Agree with you entirely that we should really evaluate what happens. But to your comment, there's some things in ONAP that really should follow rules. And once we establish what these rules are, I don't think it's an option to break them unless there's an exception process that allows you to do that. I know it's a little bit, it's not exactly what open source would typically do, but what we're building is not exactly what open source would typically build. And other projects that have built things of equal complexity to what we're building have used very rigorous practices in the past to accomplish it. Look at Linux. And so I think we do need some rules, guys, and we need to own up to the fact that we can't have a free-for-all for much longer. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem.
But we may have to introduce this incrementally. So we may start with something, for
example. I agree, but we need to at least assert and agree that there are rules and they will be introduced incrementally instead of saying they will be introduced and then someday they might become rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chris and Alex.
I apologize for the blue lines. I have no idea how to remove the damn things and I didn't mean to put them there in the first place. But I think they came from...
Alex, yes. That's your contribution now, yeah?
I know I probably will be hated by the entire community for doing this, so let me try again.
Under the view options, there's annotate, and then with the annotation tools, there's clear, and that should take care of it.
I'm using a cell phone, so... Okay,
so we'll see how it
goes.
Okay. Okay.
One word of caution about gRPC, yeah? So the more I look into gRPC, the more I hear from the Google and the allies that this is the way to go, and REST API are losing steam and they are going to be replaced by gRPC. But this is at the very high level. For ONAP, as Alex said, we need to look into this and see if, Chris, you said incrementally. By incrementally, you mean that retiring some of the REST APIs in favor of gRPC, or
incrementally? We won't need a concrete proposal of what we want to do in Casablanca. We won't get everything. So pick somewhere that you want to start, make a proposal on that.
Okay.
And if it makes sense, then we move forward with it.
So a follow-up question to that. We have lots of beautiful ideas and presentations. How many of them are actually going to have developer resources from different companies?
Yeah. That's the question, of course, and that's what we need to make it real and to be able to come up with your idea, come to the architecture subcommittee, we'll talk about it, but in order to make it real, we need to get PTLs to buy in.
Sure. So, Chris, how much time I have? Because I have a few more slides, like another like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
And then we'll do APIs after.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not gonna follow the chat stuff. Okay. This is the approaches I already mentioned in Manoj's presentation. So you can see that based on the discussion that is happening in the Tiger team, we are looking into these options, the approach 1, 2, and 3. And obviously, this is viewed as complementary to the hubbing and the previous conversation about the microservices, okay? Alex, your DMS contribution is referenced here. This was a while back. Alex and Ramesh put something together, and Manoj is referencing that here, okay?
So this is an example of where I think we need to make sure we actually have resources to work on stuff, and we're pretty well aligned with Wabing, right? So...
Yeah.
Somehow we need to consolidate this microservice work. I think Srini just posted something on this fact. We can't be running 20 different tracks in parallel because, the outcome is not likely to be good.
Right. Well, let's pull this all together next week. Anyone else who is not represented who wants a presentation slot, let me know. Let's see if we can talk about them all next week, get some guidance from the community, and then move forward together from that point.
Yeah, okay. So these are the options on the table, and we have halfway through the discussion based on Manoj's slide deck. I just wanted to show it quickly. The next one is, this is microservices work that Hubbing mentioned. Hubbing said, Istio is the center of this contribution, and this is, of course, the open source project that is widely used even as a part of the Clover project. So So that is Chris and Ramki. That is where that you can leverage basically the work at Clover and see how much of that overlaps with Pavin's idea, yeah? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the set of tools that is mentioned here for tracing, for logging, like Fluentd, tracing like Zipkin and Jagger. And then we have later on for some real-time analytics and so on. So those are the candidate tools that we can pick and choose, yeah? I highlighted in blue. You can see that? So, but Istio is going to be the center of the universe here, correct? That is where we are going to focus on.
Yeah, at least possibly initially, that seems to be a popular option. So we'll talk about that in the contributions next week. That and S3P and other choices also available in where the industry is.
Okay. Go ahead.
Would you kind of, what would be the approach to follow? Would you do it all over in ONAP in all projects, or we can pick up one project at ONAP and apply all these principles there, and then propagate as we go along in future.
The intention is that we can start with some project. We can demonstrate the advantage the Istio can bring us, and then after everyone in the community think, okay, it's really great to bring in Istio to integrate with ONAP, so we can spread out. That's what we want to do. We are trying to do in the Beijing development event. Yeah.
Hey, what being would it be? Would it be
something for us? Sorry.
Go ahead, Rand.
Something for us to seriously think about is when we discuss next week, we'll find that service mesh is solving some of the ONAP S3P problems, critical ONAP S3P problems. So it may be good to sort of think about it in a bigger way also, sort of, hey, just definitely we want to introduce, but let's see whether we can get it as a standard practice for all the ONAP components. We should seriously think about it.
But guys,
go ahead, Alex.
We need to be very careful about what we mean by service mesh and what we treat as microservices. If you talk to, for example, to the Cloud Foundry guys, they will say that service mesh is really meant for communication within an application composed of microservices, okay? But it's limited in scope to an app. And we have lots of management apps that need to be integrated together. And so the question becomes, do we continue to recursively use the service mesh up and down the stack, or do we stop at the implementation of each individual management application, quote unquote, if we use the terminology right? So really have to be careful here, and this is a big deal. Service mesh works in certain cases, and in other cases presents a lot of issues. So again, I think we need to kind of think through this.
Yeah, so if you try to kind of do it. Sorry, go on.
Sorry. So Alex, I should agree with you about that. So right now, service mesh is a buzzword, so it's promising. It can bring a lot of advantages, but right now, it's not production ready. Even Istio, it didn't release its first official release. So that's why I say that Istio will not be a mandatory deployment option for Casablanca, but we should try to investigate it. We try to integrate and we try to leverage whatever advantage you can bring to us. And then finally we can make a decision here.
Would it be better if we could design a specific use case or a an example module that could, you know, over exaggerate certain things that we need, so we can really look at the performance and,
sure.
the footprint and all that, instead of just picking something that exists. I mean, if we would just create a test module.
I think so.
Maybe we can start with like some kind of metric collection, distributing like also like a blue red development like that kind of use case. We can because it's already supported like that kind of use case, and serially, the source image should be transparent to the application. It means that it will not need a lot of modification in the microservice side, in the application side. So, but it's actually it's not true. But that's my point, right?
That it is deceptive.
That's the intention. Yeah.
But the intention is not what it is today.
Yeah.
There are a lot of very interesting points. I mean, like, including performance and, you know, how it's going to be deployed. Let's talk about this in next week's deep dive, right? We're having several presentations and we can put things together.
There are two focus areas. One is the long-term view. On the short-term view, like how much of this could be leveraged for Casablanca? Yep. I already had a discussion with a number of the PTLs. For example, there was a meeting, I guess it's an art review meeting or somewhere else. Michael was presented the logging update. And I mentioned Fluent D, and he said, yeah, that's a good idea. So some PTLs, they are really willing to bring this in early on. So, Chris, we need to allow maybe a couple of weeks before the deadline for Casablanca that we can talk to the PTLs to see if they are willing and they have resources.
But the point that kind of I'm making and Wabing, I guess, is making also is that it might be premature to go and enlist the willing until we try it out on one thing first.
We need to do our due diligence.
We come up with a minimum viable product that we want to push in the Casablanca release. And then we work with whatever components are affected for that MVP and then drive it from there.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, it comes to sort of the use cases we're looking at. I mean, traceability or live upgrade, what is our target, right? Where we want to head to. That also becomes a critical decision-making point and mapping to ONAP S3P.
Yeah. See Tal's hand up. Just a sec. Tal, did you have something?
Yeah, I just want to emphasize very briefly that service mesh technology is always optional. The idea is that you can always turn off Istio and things would work exactly the same. So I just want to make it clear that the stakes are pretty low here in terms of adding anything. And when you do use Istio, it does affect your choices for architecture in very good ways. So it's once we do have people start using it, we're going to see a better thinking in terms of organizing our microservices. But again, the point is technology-wise, you can turn it off and everything works the same way.
Yeah, Paul, this is already mentioned. You see, in the one of the bullet item, it says that it's not mandatory for ONAP. That's a good point, Istio is not mandatory for ONAP, okay? At least that's mentioned. Okay. All right. Chris, I guess I had one more slide. This is the action plan for Ramki and the multi-cloud APIs. Ramki, we have, I already put this in my meeting notes a few weeks back. So these are the items probably you may want to look into.
Certainly. We talked about that service, right, before. We have an action plan.
So,
we'll make it happen.
And then, Chris, the rest is slide decks. I guess, of course, the first part of the slide decks are already being seen by most people. Yeah, we are not going to go through this.
Yeah.
But the, then next week when we talk about how to bring the different parties together, like Hobbing and Alex and others, their slides are already added to this package, okay? It's already here. Like, this is Hobbing's set of slides, okay?
Okay.
And then the rest. This goes all the way to the last drop of the blood so far that we have been engaged in the architecture stuff. Yeah?
So what I hear is you're giving everybody homework to review this before next week when we do the deep dive. And that'll speed up the discussion. Great. Perfect.
Yeah, especially this thing that is called Nested Services. It's a very interesting enhancement. I really want people to look into this. We did a lot of discussion in Tiger Team, and we are going to have the final touch on this, okay?
Well, so one thing to mention, this whole hierarchical orchestration thing that Gil is proposing may require a change in terms of how we think about the multi-cloud layer and what it does. Okay. And especially if we're going to start talking about Tosca-driven orchestration. And so we really do need to work out, you know, what that means now that we actually have a Tosca orchestrator sitting inside SO.
Alex, we need to expand on that. Okay. Is that a discussion for ARC or for somewhere else?
I don't know what goes to ARC, Parviz, to be honest, or what goes to the Tiger team. We seem to be dealing with equivalent content in both, so I don't know why that is.
Okay.
The Tiger team, Alex, is about working through this first and then bringing it up to the ARC level. The decisions are made at the ARC level, and then we get the... Yeah. The buy-in from the TSC. You know, basically it's a hierarchy. It's a working team to go off and make a proposal. If the proposal is ready, we can bring it back to the main ARC team in a couple of weeks.
So Parviz, we should then look at one other aspect to this whole thing, which has to do with the actual southbound sort of use of Tosca orchestration, and how far does it go?
Southbound of Tosca. Okay, I'll ping you offline to learn more about what you're saying.
Okay.
But
Alex, a question: should we let it? Are you proposing that we tie that to ONAP external APIs? This piece of work. The Tosca discussion, or
no?
No.
I'm not suggesting that at all. Though that is an interesting idea, but no. What I'm simply saying is that what Gil is proposing is a hierarchy of the orchestration functions, and that is necessary because of the level of scale and latency and all sorts of other things. The question is, how does that reconcile with the APIs and the exposed by the multi-cloud layer?
Yeah, okay, good.
Because Tosca orchestrators have plug-in frameworks that plug directly into the last mile kind of instantiation functions that, you know, multi-cloud also plugs into. And so the question becomes, do we need to have both? Do we need to adjust what each one of them does? How does it work? Otherwise, we potentially duplicate effort.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, one last comment from an architecture perspective. There are discussions going on in 5G use cases, the PNF, the PNF SDK, and so on. So some of them could have impact on the architecture and the architecture discussion. So I haven't really collected that side of the, you know, enhancements, architecture enhancements. There has to be, maybe you can ask people to bring their view to ARC, and then we pick it up from there, yeah?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Parviz. I appreciate your update.
Sure, thanks.
So now let's turn this over to Dana and Greg to talk about API versioning.
Thanks. This is Greg. I'll share here. So as soon as it comes up, I'll put this on slideshow. Maybe you can see it a little easier. So this is Greg Glover. I'm the PTL for the documentation team. What we wanted to talk about today was a set of recommendations for API documentation. The target is to implement these in Casablanca. We still, of course, have to get concurrence across the PTL community. We wanted to share this with the architecture team today, get TSC occurrence, et cetera. So, you know, these are considered draft recommendations. You can see the leads down here and some key people. In addition to Dana, who's on the call, Rich Bennett is also on the call today. We also had several other key people, Andy Mayer, Jack, Eric Renee from Orange. In addition, there were a number of other folks that have been working with, particularly with the versioning recommendations with Dana. We also had some other companies that have provided input. So I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that here. So there's three slides really that summarize everything. And then we have a whole bunch of examples as backups if we need to get into that. But what we wanted to do is just do a recap right now and then get your initial feedback and we can talk about specifics. So in Amsterdam, just to sort of where are we here? I mean, generally, all the project teams did a pretty good job of documenting their APIs. And a big thank you to all the PTLs for that. Most of the projects had some sort of model that they used, as well as export programs, etc. So where are we at now, though, is we really need to have a consistent format using a standard template, be sort of evolved from what we initially came up with for Amsterdam, making sure that all the documentation is in Read the Docs and migrated off the wiki. Right now it's kind of scattered around. And then of course, a big piece of this is having a standard versioning strategy. So what is it that we're proposing here? First of all, this is an updated template that would replace the current offer APIs template that we initially put out there for Amsterdam. So these are the piece parts. A very brief introduction, you know, just a one or two line summary. An overview of the architecture, including the roles in terms of both consumer, producer, stakeholders. Versioning, which I'm sure we'll probably get into a lot more here, and there could be a bunch of questions. But for all the APIs, we're saying to adopt a semantic versioning of major, minor, and patch, and also to align starting with Casablanca, so this wouldn't really apply till, of course, after the very first version, but where major equals minus 1 year. So in addition, for all the REST APIs, and I think this has already been stated, but this would be more formally stating to you, Swagger, aligning the URLs to include only the major version, as well as using predefined headers to communicate miners, patches, and latest version. So we can, again, we have got a lot more detail on all of these here coming up. So a description, more of a detailed set of definitions, a table that we can show you the example of that, that would include links to all any appropriate elements, including these listed here, but not necessarily exhaustive. If you want to extend it, I think that would be okay. Mapping to the information model, so both the model class and attributes, a brief maybe description of the security mechanisms, both authentication and authorization, and then lastly, a developer guide with all the various dependencies, configuration, etc. Now, a lot of this stuff is already there across all the projects. It's not necessarily, of course, in this order or in this following this particular template. And we, in fact, are recommending that all the projects starting in Casablanca put their documentation using this set of guidelines. There are, of course, some outstanding questions that and we're going to continue to work with the PTLs on these. First of all, you know, what happens with all the current documentation? There's a couple of options. One would be to reformat into the template that I just reviewed. And of course, adding any missing sections or pieces that weren't covered in Amsterdam. I mean, an option here might be quote unquote a best effort. In other words, you give them a little wiggle room and say, okay, well, you're going to do it, you know, do what you can, but you have to get it all done in Dublin. So it's really not getting it all done in Casablanca. B is even less onerous, and that's just, well, you keep what you got, add any missing stuff, but then go ahead and get it done in Dublin. Our recommendation is you know, get it done. Let's sign up to get this done in Casablanca. Number two, what about any extensions? We already have an example. AAI has HTML, but they have SD and OXM not covered, in our example. And we're saying, yes, that's fine. And then three, where should they be stored in reference? And we're saying, and read the docs. So that's basically, in a nutshell, the proposal. So I just want to pause here and see what initial reactions that the architecture team has to this. And we can certainly jump into examples for any of these sections, because we do have those, especially versioning, which I can imagine may be of particular interest.
Hey, Greg, this is Alex. We have different kinds of interface. This is a good proposal, or a good plan, I guess. I guess my question is, we have programmatic interfaces or endpoints, I guess, for that different microservices will expose eventually. And we kind of, I think, want to kind of encourage that style of thinking, that these are endpoints, not APIs. There's also a bunch of declarative data that is very important to keep version correctly. Is your plan going to cover that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think this doesn't, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't acknowledge that. In fact, I think what you bring up is there's a number of different versioning issues out there, right? And how and when do we adopt those rules? So that's a very good question. I think we need to come up with a comprehensive versioning strategy. This was particularly aimed at APIs.
Well, so yeah, but I think we can apply the same versioning scheme in general to all kinds of interfaces, declarative and imperative. I think the question is whether or not you're going to cover both in the documentation somehow in a consistent way.
So let me jump in here. I think you're asking, should we have different classes of APIs, be they microservices, endpoints, or a REST?
No, I'm also talking about declarative metadata, like a Tosca document as an interface. It's a document consumed by different providers and consumers for some purpose. So, for example, a VNF descriptor. It should be versioned. It's an interface that just happens to be declarative, but you know, it's still an interface.
Yeah, I like where you're headed. How do we get to what is the right set of?
Yes.
Is that a view you have right now in the architecture team? Is that we could bless and say, okay, we'll have different template structure for these types of things, or do we need to work on that as part of the proposal here?
This is my view. We need to work on this. This is not, you know, I don't think we have anything yet at the architecture level that does this. Maybe with Swagger we can accomplish portions of this, but for the declarative stuff, I don't know if anything actually exists.
Give a couple more examples of the declarative stuff. Would that include deployment templates and whatever?
So yes. So for example, we've built a Tosca template that you know represents a VNF descriptor, right? So we can build VNF packages and package things based on Tosca. This you know the stuff that we're supposed to be doing for ONAP portability. Same thing will happen for the network service descriptor. There'll be other declarative metadata that we use to, you know, to describe how things get plugged in or, you know, whatever else we use in the future, right? Those are the two examples that pop into my mind because we've been working on them a lot, right? So somehow we need to version those templates as well as the interfaces that are more traditional. More programmatic.
Alex, you know, you're right. You know, there is a need to do that. It's just that the challenges there or the aspects we need to handle are not exactly the same as you would have in API in terms of, you know, backward compatibility in terms of identifying.
Absolutely.
Like you can have a VNFC having a different version, and does it mean that the VNF level versioning also needs to get propagated? So
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the actual format and the grammar of that template as it changes, it needs to be versioned. So when an orchestrator or a parser looks at a version of a VNF descriptor, it knows how to process it correctly.
Yeah, I think I was kind of thinking of, you know, in Tosca, one thing which needs to be looked at is, okay, if you get, you know, if you change from one version to another, how are you able to find out the differences between the previous and the current version? And then how do you decide what impact does it have on the deployment? You know, those aspects also we need to look into.
That's kind of where I was headed, yes. Mm-hmm.
Two things. One here in relation to that, of course, I think this is good. And then if we sort of borrow something that's related to another part of the industry, some standard or something, that may be an exception to the if it comes with its own versioning, maybe that's an exception. But I think we can handle those on a case by case. The backwards compatibility of less than 1 year, that's basically meaning one project. Is that a bit aggressive?
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole slide on the backwards compatibility that we can kind of walk through. And it's just a policy. It's not set in stone programmatically, so we could always adjust that. But the period of 1 year was to kind of account for the fact that if we did it release-based, if we start doing expedited releases, say several a year, at a higher cadence, then at least this way, you know, it'll give the clients time to adapt, right? But right now we're only at like what, two releases a year?
Yeah. So if it's less than sort of if the backwards compatibility is 1 year, that means in principle it's only one project.
Well, we can bump that up. I mean, it's like I said, it's not set in stone. Whatever we think is feasible, that's why we kind of wanted to bring it to folks.
Yeah. So another way. I think the approach is good. I just think the policy can be discussed.
Oh yeah, sure. No, I totally agree. So basically, if you get to, you know, you have a 1.0 and then
you know, it goes up to 1.x. Once 2.0 is released, then as a major release, then 1.x would stay for a period of 1 year or whatever we decide.
And do you want to keep the same timeline for external APIs versus internal APIs? Backward compatibility timelines?
Yeah, so right now, yes, but it doesn't mean that we couldn't define a policy that's separate.
Because we might be a bit less strict when it comes to internal APIs in saying, okay, since most of the modules in all the projects in ONAP would go hand in hand, maybe there is some leeway we can have there. But when it comes to...
We still need to think about... we can apply the same versioning scheme to all the APIs, but I think we also need to... This is something that I've been threatening to do, but just couldn't because I went on vacation. There's a taxonomy that we need to develop for the APIs. Which are private, which are public, which are exposed at what scope.
Yes.
And if you do that, then I think you're right. Different rules will apply and different durations will apply. But we haven't created that taxonomy yet, and we should.
Well, I think the issue is that we don't really have a good grasp on what's in the inventory for the APIs today, right? So if we get that established in Casablanca, then in Dublin, that taxonomy should be kind of on the roadmap.
That's orthogonal, right? I mean, that's not going to change. The taxonomy is meant to be generic, right? And encompass whatever you have and whatever you will have and to be designed. So yeah, sure, we can start in Casablanca with something we know we have, but it doesn't mean that,
There's one tricky thing there, Alex, I think, is that you have an implied assumption when you talk about internal and external, that is someone's using the entire platform and block there. If someone has taken a part of it, that then is by definition external.
Well, if you've done that and that particular project... so we need subsetting and substitution rules as well, because I'm pretty sure that you can't just arbitrarily take out parts of ONAP and still say you're using ONAP.
That's a matter of definition.
Well,
I guess.
Yeah, I think this proposal that we're coming up with, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in what we're proposing. So, kind of, I think it was Andy's position as well, like we want to at least establish something in Casablanca and pick the low-hanging fruit, right? And then work on evolving this. Like, this isn't like a set in stone. This should evolve over time, how we document the APIs. But this is a start to get the versioning attached and get that versioning communicated. Like, like Alex, you pointed out, there's other things that are to this that we need to focus on. But what can we, conceivably do realistically for Casablanca, right?
No. I'm not opposed to this, right? And I said in the working meetings, I think we need to start somewhere. And I thought we had decided REST would be REST APIs in particular would be where we would start.
Agreed.
But there may be. But let's not forget in Casablanca also we have these declarative. Templates coming in, other stuff that will be pretty important to maintain. And so we may, we may apply the same general purpose policy that you've created, which I think is great, to those as well.
Okay, so Alex, why don't we take this on as a follow-up, maybe a small working group to address, both the initial issues that you brought up and as well as the going forward, we can look at, breaking out and establishing that taxonomy.
I think Dana already has a working group going. So rather than, creating yet another one, let's just take the one that she has and keep on using it.
We can do that. I'll set up a follow-up.
Yep. Other comments or questions? I mean, what we're wanting to do with this basically at this point is, of course, we're still running this by the PTLs and some are going to be more affected than others. So, ANAI, SDC, policy, there's going to be some bigger hitter ones that this could be a bigger deal, obviously, right? For them to sign up for this, in Casablanca. But assuming that, that there is concurrence on this, what we're interested in from your team here is, you know, is there any concern that this should not go forward, I guess, at this point? Or anything that's blatantly missing or doesn't make sense?
Can you go back to, they must have a sort of negotiation strategy here. So between the client and the server, do you have a description of that?
I guess what that would be in this description, and we could certainly make sure that gets added, right, in the template.
So that's the API so version. There's a different URL for the older version versus the newer version.
Oh, is that what, sorry if I misunderstood.
No, but it's also that, I mean, you've got a client and he doesn't necessarily know which ones the server support, or the server is supporting there, and he starts, yeah, you have to sort of come down to the agreement there.
So we should be careful not to think of these as client-server APIs, right? These are object-oriented APIs. They ought to be treated in REST as operations on objects. Objects may have different versions. API signatures may have different versions. But what this I mean is what I said about...
Something calls it and something provides the service, and that's what I mean. And then when you sort of first call it, you don't know what's the provider...
You know which interface you are able to make a call on, right? So this is the difference between the if I'm gonna issue a post request and I'm gonna form a URL and I know which requests or which responses I'm capable of processing, then I'm gonna issue the URL with that version embedded. You should look at we should probably talk about, you know, the actual format of the URLs here, but I think you'll get enough of a clue.
So I think that was covered in one of the slides. Can you go to the API versioning slide?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah, here it is. So you have that major version number. You know, in Casablanca, maybe that's V3. And then we come out with Dublin and maybe it's a V4. But you know for at least a year that V3 is available.
And let's say I have a client, as Steve calls it, or I have another service that wants to invoke an operation on a different one. I know which version I'm expecting back or which response I'm expecting back. So there is no ambiguity. Mm-hmm. Why would I call an API?
Is it due to the discovery?
Well, you know, you don't need to even discover it, right? You can simply say that I am able to carry a conversation at major version X. And if I'm not able to carry on that conversation, why would I ever invoke something with a different version of an API that I don't understand? So you can have two services sitting side by side, one speaking to the same, you know, to another, both speaking to another service, one on API version 1, one on API version 2. You can actually support concurrency this way.
Okay, but it's a service discovery. Then the client uses the version, the highest version he understands from the server. That's how it works.
Well, you could do it that way. You can fix the version that you understand and just, you know, attempt to carry on a conversation with that version. And if somebody says, I don't understand what you're talking about, then you clearly can't.
Yeah, but now, that's a brutal way of doing negotiation. I don't understand you. I'll try another language. But that's quite common with you, Alex. It's okay with me now.
Ooh! No, I mean, there are different ways of introspecting into the interfaces as well, depending on which style we also use, right? So it depends.
But I think we should sort of go into this and have a common strategy around this, whatever it is. I'm not stating which one it should be here.
Do we need a strategy, Steve?
I think it's supported by the proposal, but then it would be the projects that would have to do the implementation, and we'll probably have to give the guidance to the projects. And that ties into the microservices discussion.
If you have a small
that far, yeah, and then Chris, if we stay with RESTful, we then you use that URL.
No, but this gives you the URL. It doesn't.
Okay, but the URL has a version number in it, right, Steve? So if I have a little microservice that speaks version 1, and I have another one sitting next to me that speaks version 2, the URL that I will hit, you are the guy replying to both of us, right? The URL that I will form to talk to you will have a version, implicit version embedded in it. So when you get it, either you can speak my language or you can't.
But it has implications as well, right? So the example that's on the screen here shows version 14. So if I don't understand version 14, I'm doing the service discovery on which, by the way, and I only understand version 13 because I haven't myself upgraded to version 14 and I want to use this service. I can't use the version 14 one, so that means the service discovery must have both capabilities there, I guess.
Well, and that's kind of, so this is the plus or minus one year kind of thing, right? So if you want to have backward compatibility, my assumption is that, A, these things are not going to go away overnight. So there will be a period of time, and maybe this is the wrong assumption. My assumption is that there will be periods of time where we'll support multiple versions of the API at the same time.
Absolutely. And then you're going to, yeah.
Okay. And even when we don't have official support, it's most likely that the projects did not remove the old code for the really old version. So chances are version 13 would still work, even if the official policy was 14 and 15.
Well, or maybe we make it a rule that before they can remove it, there's another year that has to pass.
Yeah, but you have to also, it has implications on the service and what they publish towards the service discovery and so on, right?
Yeah, I think you have really good points. I think we should follow up with another session that we've been having.
I get lucky sometimes, but I just think we should be clear about this. I mean, there are multiple approaches that could be done, but I mean, maybe we can look at what, yeah. I mean, Etienne Fee has some, OpenStack has some. There's plenty of examples around there.
Well, I mean, yeah, every commercial cloud has one of these taxonomies and also one of these API versioning styles.
Cool. All right. I said my piece, I think.
All right. And I've got it noted. Anything else on any of this stuff? This, by the way, this would be, you know, an example of the table that and this is actually a straight cut out from external API documentation, but this is, we think this is the way to go. And so you would have these embedded links here that would go directly to the appropriate documentation. Anything, and I know we're just about out of time, anything else?
Hey, Greg, I just put something in the chat window. You may want to have a look. There's a debate on versioning strategy versus chain strategy, okay? That can help.
All right, very good. So I think what we're proposing is to take this forward to, as I said, the PTLs, of course, they ultimately have to concur with the timing, but in terms of the recommendations, we're planning to take this to the TSC, and we want to make sure that obviously the architecture team concurs. So I guess what I'm hearing in summary is yes, this is fine as for what it is, and we need to follow up with some additional clarifications as this evolves.
Sure. I think we should separate the policy for backwards compatibility for the time question from the technical question here. Because one could imagine that we could make approve this, and then we could actually make a separate sort of policy from a TSC perspective regarding the time there.
Okay.
So I just think, because otherwise we're kind of bundling a little bit into both, and I think they're two. There are actually two decisions, I think.
Okay. Dana, that makes sense, right? I mean, so we can say we're going to have a backwards compatibility policy, and then what the actual the actual time frames are, we can discuss, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. We can adapt it. So what I would say is put down something for Casablanca that we tell all the teams to expect a one-year policy or whatever. In Dublin or whatever E is, we can always change that if we need to extend it to something else or make adjustments.
Okay.
But
I think, Chris, in TSC policies there, I think we could actually have a very simple statement about this that's a little bit separate from the proposal itself, and that's what it wants to separate.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll do that then. We'll update this to say, hey, we want to establish this policy. Here's the concept. And then for Casablanca, you know, the starting out recommendation is the one-year thing, blah, 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 and then we can review with Dublin, right? That makes sense. So.
Yes.
Okay, good. Anything else?
I'll set up a follow-up call with the working team this week. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Yeah, no, thank you for the good discussion.
Great. The model maturity team isn't quite ready today, so we'll push that off to a future call. Anything else from the team before we break? Any comments people want to discuss? Okay, so I'll end about a half hour early and give you back. Oh, go ahead.
Have we nailed down a date for the architecture face-to-face?
It's during the OpenStack conference. I don't have an exact date because we're waiting for the OpenStack team to give me a room, and they'll tell me exactly what day that's available. I expect that, they said early this week, so I expect that within the next day or so. And I will send that out to the mailing list as soon as possible. As I mentioned, they do have some hotel blocks. You can get a combination ticket plus hotel for some extra discount, or you can get their hotel rate for just a single day.
But we don't need the ticket to do the face-to-face, right?
That's the plan. They're going to confirm with logistics, but that's what I asked for, and they said that they would work with us. So I will let you know exactly what the logistics are when I get that word back from Ildiko.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. I'm going to give you back about 27 minutes, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
I was thinking more about this policy. At the moment, it's time-based. The other way we could do this was, say, two major releases as well.
That was discussed. One of the concerns is if we shorten the release time, then that would...
I'm hoping that we don't have to have a new version of the... Yeah, okay, that was why that came in, but...
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. But, I mean, we shouldn't need a new version of the APIs for every release of ONAP. That would be crazy.
We can talk about that, how we do the numbering, if we keep it the same per version.
Because if nothing's changed, so we don't need to step it, right? It's only if you've got a functional change that's non-backwards compatible do you need to do a major step.
Yep.
And if we do good protocol design, that shouldn't be so often, actually.
Yeah, well, let's refer that to Dana and the working team, and I think that'll come up as another meeting in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Steven, I think you've been volunteered to join that call, so.
How did that happen? Next time I'm going to be quiet.
Otherwise, who would I have to argue with? Nobody.
Now, good comments, and, you know, I know that that's... I know that the versioning team has discussed this, you know, endlessly, because there is no perfect answer.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand. And this is a little bit where I was, thinking of separating the mechanism from the policy.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll refer that to the sub team, and we'll bring it back here when the team is ready. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay.